Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
All right, women, listen up everywhere, especially if you're entering your 40s or you're in perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause. One of the biggest complaints is vaginal dryness. You know that question, are you dry down there? And, you know, this can just be so, so uncomfortable. You know, Michelle, you and I have talked about this how many times, right?
Yeah, over and over. Well, because I suffered from it, which, you know, after having a complete hysterectomy. So, and it's taken a long time to get that moisture back and get my balance back. But that's what Dr. Barb Dupree is going to talk to us about, right?
Oh, that's right.
Dr. Dupree, you are a women's healthcare provider for over 20 years. So you're a smarty pants then. She's the director of the Women's Midlife Services at Holland Hospital, Holland, Michigan. Dr. Dupree, dry down there. Yeah, there's the question. So why don't you just take us through the classic group of women who are affected by this, or clearly women who have had some kind of perimenopausal or menopausal issues. And so welcome to our program, and we're just waiting to hear your wonderful wisdom about this.
Well, thanks for having me. And as you alluded to, the classic symptom of menopause that we tell women, up to 50% of women 5 years beyond menopause are likely to begin to experience some element of pain with intercourse related to vaginal dryness. And our term for it is vulvovaginal atrophy, dryness, but that's not always what some women experience. So sometimes finding the right words to speak about this can be challenging and difficult for women. As a matter of fact, a fairly large survey was recently done, and it was all postmenopausal women who were included in the survey, and 62% of women weren't at all familiar with the term vulvovaginal atrophy or vaginal dryness and really didn't associate it that it was a menopausal symptom. So I think those of us in healthcare, that's an easy way to connect the dots. But the typical woman who's now 52 and wondering why things are less comfortable and less possible than they once were might not connect that now that I'm menopausal, it's likely to occur. So part of it is finding the words to speak about it as providers, making women aware of it, and then more importantly, trying to make products available to women to solve the problem.
Right, because there are a lot of products on the market. In fact, I did a satellite media tour on vaginal atrophy, and it's so interesting because we took it out in our newsletter, the video, and I'm with Lauren Stryker, Dr. Stryker, and mm-hmm. all the men were talking about it. I mean, they were the ones who actually, because they didn't understand it either. So,
yeah.
I mean, both men and women. So men are wondering why women don't want to have intercourse. Well, it hurts. And they don't
exactly.
want to talk about it, and they don't want to have the discussion around it, which is something that needs to be discussed, and that there is something you can do for it. And, you know, for me, it was the S-string that, like, just changed my life. I mean, completely changed my life.
So that's the estrogen ring that's inserted into the vagina, and that basically pops up almost like the old-fashioned diaphragm did. And it basically encircles where the cervix is. So what this is doing is giving you sustained release estrogen over time, just enough to kind of get those vaginal walls back up to snuff in terms of moisture and integrity. Have you had great success with this, Dr. Dupree?
Yes, and I think that part of the controversy around hormone therapy as a bigger topic has limited the success our localized estrogens might provide women. When women hear about the solution being a hormonal solution, I think a lot of times there's this idea that, well, I'm not going to do hormones, I'm not sure about the safety, which again is another discussion completely. But in this case, the S-string or E-string, Vagifem, there are a couple of vaginal creams on the market, Premarin and Estrace. And then there's a new oral non-hormonal option, but all of those are prescription. But if we're talking about estrogen to the vagina, typically we're talking about localized estrogen, not achieving blood levels that are significantly elevated, so not equating it to systemic hormones. But it takes very little estrogen to the vagina to restore healthy tissues there because you have such a high concentration of estrogen receptors in the area. I tell women, you have estrogen receptors throughout your body, but they're most concentrated in your genitals, and that's why such a small dose reverses this. And that's why the symptom of vulvar vaginal discomfort is so profound, is because it really has a profound impact when you take away estrogen from these tissues. So for
right,
so many women, it can be life-changing.
Yeah, it was for me. It definitely was for me. So what's happening with the 18-year-olds? And I noticed that there's, you know, it's kind of across the board that a lot of younger women are experiencing vaginal dryness as well. Why?
And I think that's probably less well understood. I tell women that, you know, dryness is also a bit of a bell curve, and some women will say, I wear a pad every day because I have so much discharge and I'm always moist there. Really, when we talk about dryness, we're talking about it more specifically to the sexual response and arousal. Mm-hmm. There's an autoimmune condition, Sjogren's syndrome, which results in just generalized dryness, dry mouth. Any mucous membrane is going to be dry. People who are using medications like decongestants, I mean, you think about, I need to dry up my sinuses, my nasal passages. Well, you may be drying your vagina as well. The birth the birth control pill has some women will complain of more dryness. We know it lessens cervical mucus and it changes some of the hormones that are being produced, and for some women a result. And then certainly postpartum and breastfeeding is a pretty profound low estrogen state where women will note vaginal dryness.
You know, I think that segueing off something that you said, this whole issue of, you know, its relationship with sexual intercourse, this really brings up the question of, you know, are women sexually aroused enough? And are the partners really spending enough time, you know, pleasuring the woman so that she is more sexually aroused, so that she can be more moist, so that she can have an optimal experience on the overall, instead of the, you know, the 3-minute whatever. I think that sort of speaks to that, and maybe just sort of opens up a different dialogue about that.
Yeah, I do think it's a conversation that you need to have with women about expectations and the physiology, about it does take time, and it's not going to happen immediately for all women. Now, some women, you know, it can happen pretty readily with a scene in a movie. They can tell that they lubricate easily, but certainly for other women, it really does take more time and intention to make that happen. So women may have to further explore that.
I remember the old advertisements of feminine hygiene products. I remember when I was growing up, I was always trying to figure out, what is that? These are sprays and things you do. They alter the bacterial flora. You're supposed to smell better. Are those really still out there?
You know, I did an article recently for a journal, and I went to a local Rite Aid and then a local Walgreens. And at the Rite Aid, there were 14 vaginal products on their shelf, and at Walgreens, there were 38 vaginal products.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. That's just wild. Well, you can learn more about this from Dr. Barb Dupree if you go to her website, middlesexmd.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Dupree, for joining us on Her Radio.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Stay well.